Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The weather is finally getting warmer for now. And for those of us who just can't bring ourselves to go back inside, even at night, I've got good news. There's going to be plenty to look at in the night sky during the next couple of months. That is, if you can stay up late enough to see it, right? But for as Tom Burns always tells us, the bane of the stargazer is not the cold, but the light.
That is correct.
Joining us now to talk more about the stars, planets, and other celestial wonders in the night sky is Tom Burns. He's director of the Ohio Wesleyan University Perkins Observatory in Delaware. He's also a creative writing professor at Ohio Wesleyan University. Welcome back to the show, Tom.
Good to be here, as always.
To our listeners, if you have a question or comment for Tom Burns about the wonders of the night sky.
Or how about this? I know that there are a bunch of amateur astronomers listening. If you want to call and talk about your best astronomical stargazing I would love to hear that.
All right. What's the best thing you've ever seen in the night sky? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. But first, this is our spring membership drive. Remember, listener support is the foundation of our budget. Please make your pledge of support right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. And with a pledge of support at the $85 level, what a deal. Our thank you gift to you will be 4 tickets to the Perkins Observatory. This gift is thanks to Observatory Director Tom Burns, who is a great friend to WOSU. You can get a family 4-pack of tickets by making a pledge of support to 89.7 NPR News right now. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Again, 1-866-897-9678. And if you don't know much about Perkins Observatory yet, we'll post a link to the observatory website so you can learn more about it at WOSU.org and give you an idea of what we're talking about when we're talking about Perkins Observatory. So,
Now, I just want to say that I truly believe in this, and I got here about half an hour early, so I was outside the Fawcett Center, randomly stopping people and asking them for money for WOSU, and I have right here in my hand $6.35.
Did people really give you money, or are you just pulling my leg? Okay, you're pulling my leg.
Tom's no, I'm not pulling your leg. $6.35. I'll have to give you the 35 cents later, right?
Okay,
here. All
right.
That's a good start, and I will also, as I always do after the show, renewing my membership, which I do every time I come here.
And also remember that there are real live people two walls away from us, local, central Ohioans who are volunteering their time as a way to show support for WOSU by answering our calls. It's a call center we have here during the show. If you give a call, 1-866-897-9678, you can talk with one of them and say thanks to them as well.
Real people who dedicate part of their lives to answering the phones alone in their little boiler room. Now, come on, folks.
It's not so bad.
Call in. It's really nice. They have donuts.
They have donuts.
You should volunteer,
yeah,
too.
Gosh.
They have donuts.
Hang on.
I renew my membership so that I can get a free donut.
Okay, to pull the phone closer to me so we can get this call from Ed in Baltimore to kick off the show. Hi, Ed. You're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, welcome. Thank you very much. My favorite celestial sighting, viewing, whatever you want to call it, was shortly after we moved out here to Baltimore. I think it might have been 2 years later. This was sometime around 2000. I can't remember which meteor shower it was. But it was a Wednesday night. I was coming from a meeting, and I knew the shower was going to be coming in, and I found myself a little dark spot out on the east side of Reynoldsburg, and waited for it to begin, and I was amazed. The angle of the earth must have been just right, because as these meteorites came in, they were coming. coming in, and they looked like rockets heading toward Columbus. They were coming in at such a low angle and such fire. I've never seen that many low trajectory ones before or since.
Well, you had a horizon.
Do you remember what time of the year it was? Or
It probably would have been spring, I think. I'm trying to remember which one it was. I know it was about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. It was darker, so it wasn't daylight savings time.
Were you cold?
No, it wasn't that cold that day.
Okay.
It might have been right at the beginning of the fall or something when it was, or maybe it was, you know, it was one of those times when it wasn't really cold, but it wasn't really warm. It was just a comfortable night to sit and watch, and it just, for about a half hour, 45 minutes, I just watched as these things just came blazing in.
Yeah, the thing to realize is you don't need a meteor shower night to go out and look at meteors. As a matter of fact, if you're observing from dark skies, you're going to see 5 to 10 meteors an hour, some of them brighter, especially if you observe in those couple of hours before morning twilight, early in the morning. You're bound to see a few from dark skies. But on a meteor shower night, like the Perseids in August or the Geminids in December, you might see as many as 100 an hour in those last 2 hours before morning twilight. It is an amazing experience because if you see a bunch of them in a row, they all seem to be radiating from a particular part of the sky. And what you are seeing is not the meteor entering Earth's atmosphere. It is Earth plowing through that cloud of debris left by a passing comet. And it just literally feels, if you get a few of them in a row, in a matter of a few seconds, which you often do, like you are on a ball of rock hurtling through space at 7 miles per second. It's not the meteors entering Earth's atmosphere. It's Earth plowing into those hunks of rock.
A bad driver then.
Yes, right. That's right.
Ed, thanks for sharing the story.
You're welcome.
Take care. Other listeners out there, if you have a memory of a spectacular, momentous occasion stargazing, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. The comet Ison?
Ison, yes.
Ison is coming in November. We have to wait till November?
That's right.
Can we rush it?
Right now it's out around the orbit of Jupiter, coming plowing down toward the sun, and will pass Earth. And when it gets close to the sun, you're hoping that the sun's energy will blow off a whole bunch of ice and dust and give us a nice view of that comet. No promises on this one, folks. Comets are notoriously unpredictable, but this one is looking pretty good.
And it could be associated with a new meteor shower?
That is correct. What it will do, since it's never been in the inner solar system before, and because it has a parabolic orbit, may never be back again, is it will leave that trail of dust and debris along Earth's orbit, and so that at least in January, we may get a brand new meteor shower.
My guest is Tom Burns, director of the Perkins Observatory at Ohio Wesleyan University. If you have a question or comment for him, we welcome them. 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org or check out our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. If you want, you can check out Twitter at WOSU All Sides. This is Listener Supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is a special hour on All Sides because our good friend Tom Burns is in the studio with a special offer for listeners who call right now. Make a pledge of $85, and we'll send you 4 passes to the Perkins Observatory. Or if you pledge $150 right now, we'll send you 4 passes and the book, The Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets. Call 1-866-897-9678 and make a pledge of $85 or $150 and support public radio. 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org and post your, make your pledge online. The book, just to describe it briefly for our listeners, The Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets. It has detailed charts covering each of the 88 constellations. There's data and notes on all the bright stars and objects of interest, so you know what you are looking at when you are stargazing. The authors provide tips on choosing and using binoculars and telescopes in this book. And beginning on page 26, you'll find monthly star charts, so you know which constellations you can see in May and which ones you'll see in October. And most important, it is recommended by Tom Burns.
Yes, I use mine all the time, although I know the constellations pretty much already. Occasionally, I need to know where Lynx is, and I don't quite remember where Lynx is. So.
It's quite a beautiful book.
It is. And the thing to realize about it is that you can use it on any level. You can use the monthly star charts to learn the constellations. This is usually the place that people start. And then you can use the more detailed star maps to find astronomical objects within those constellations so that you can kind of learn how to use your binoculars or telescope to find them.
So we're in April, and it shows you what's facing north and what's facing south, and everything you need to know to do some stargazing. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you have questions. 1-866-897-9678 is that all-important number to call if you want to show your support for 89.7 NPR News right now. We have an email from Jason. He asks, why are there so many galaxies that are observable in the spring? He says, P.S., just submitted my gift. Thank you so much, Jason.
In that
way
case,
to go.
I'm going to answer that question, yes. Every season of the year presents a different part of the sky, so that in the summer and winter, we're kind of staring into our Milky Way galaxy overhead. And the trouble with that is there are a lot of stars, but it's hard to see past the Milky Way galaxy. In the spring and fall, spring especially, we're kind of up overhead staring into, away from our galaxy, into the inky depths of space, so that you're staring in a direction where there aren't a lot of stars in the Milky Way. And thus, you look, for example, in the direction of the constellation Virgo, where there is a giant cluster of galaxies, the Coma Virgo cluster, wherein if you have a telescope practically of any size, say with an 8-inch mirror or something like that, over the course of a night, you can observe 150 galaxies. I have actually done this in my misspent youth. Over the course of a night, just by following that kind of chain, that cluster of galaxies in that direction. And by the way, those galaxies are an enormous distance away. Since they're in a cluster, they're about 65 million light years away. One light year is 6 trillion miles. You multiply it out. I'm too tired. A way of looking at this is as you stare at those marvelous galaxies in that Virgo cluster, you are looking at light that began its journey toward your eyeballs when dinosaurs were disappearing from the Earth. And it is a fine, each galaxy is going to look like a little smudge in your telescope. It's not so much how gorgeous they look. It's kind of the accumulated experience of seeing, you know, a couple hundred galaxies over the course of a night and realizing what a magnificently vast universe you live in, given the fact that you could do that over the course of a night, over the course of a month, over a course of your lifetime and your children's lifetime and their children's lifetime, and still not see all of the galaxies that you can see in that $400 telescope. That's big, folks.
Tom Burns is coming back to the telescope. Thanks to Jacqueline Kimball in Delaware, and thanks to Erica O'Brien in Grove City. Thank you so much for your support of All Sides with Ann Fisher and 89.7 NPR News. And thank you,
yes,
Tom, for that.
Yes, thank you. And now if we can just multiply you by about 30, we might make this
that would
this
be great.
Hour's goal. Come on, give it up, folks.
That would be great.
Donate. I have $6.35 right here
bucks.
That proves that I'm committed.
So Annie up. Let's tell people once again that joining us this morning is Perkins Observatory Director Tom Burns with our thank you gift for this hour. Four passes to the observatory for a pledge of $85 or at the $150 level, the book, The Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets, and those four passes to the observatory. This is a great reference book with star charts and information on 88 constellations, and you'll get passes to see the stars with Tom. Call 1-866-897-9678 and make a pledge of $85 for the passes or $150 for the book and passes. The number to call is 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org and make that pledge right now. Sherry in Hilliard, you're on the air with Tom Burns. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you. I have a question. When I was a young child, and I'm talking, this probably would have been about 47 years ago, I was outside playing kickball in the street with friends. And it was the night sky, so it was very dark outside. So obviously, since it was dark and it was summer, it had to be at least 9 o'clock or later in the evening. And I remember suddenly seeing this orange fireball come out of the sky towards the earth, and it was absolutely magnificent. I've never seen anything like it again. I will never forget it. And it had a tail on it. So would that have been some sort of a meteor, possibly?
About how long did it last?
Oh, it didn't last. I saw it. Everybody turned around to see it. But I couldn't say it lasted more than a few seconds at most.
Right. That would be a meteor. And the thing to realize is that most meteors are caused by objects the size of a grain of sand or a small rock or even a speck of dust entering the atmosphere. The one that you saw might have been the size of two of your fists together.
Oh, my goodness.
And to give you they might be going 50,000 miles an hour when they enter the atmosphere.
And they can make that big of a show.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Generally, when they do, if they happen at a time when people happen to be looking up, they'll make the 6 o'clock news or the noon news the next day. But
right.
You may, in fact, have been the only human being alive who saw that magnificent display as that thing burned up in the atmosphere.
You never know.
Incredible.
Well, thank you, Sherry.
I see him all the time. You got to get out, you know? That's the thing. Generally speaking, over the course of any given night, you're going to see at least one bright, really bright meteor.
Okay, Sherry, thanks again for that call. Jennifer in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
You're welcome.
And I'm calling with a comment and a question. I'm actually with a group that's putting on something called Starry Night, and it's an astronomy festival for kids this Sunday. And Tom's going to be joining us, so we're really excited about that. And it's at Westerville South from 2 to 8 on Sunday, and it's for free, so everybody's invited. But my question really is, we had a stargazing event on Saturday night with the Astronomical Society, and a lot of kids came, and they were so excited to look through those telescopes. But one of the things that, you know, some parents, I think, would really like to know is what's something that parents can do with their kids from home, maybe with a pair of binoculars? What can we look at right now to get kids excited about space and astronomy?
Well, there's a lot you can do with binoculars right now. Over in the West, setting is the bright planet Jupiter. Can't miss it. Pair of binoculars will show you three or four of its Jupiter's brightest moons, which are called the Galilean moons because they were discovered by Galileo. And over the course of an hour or so, you can actually watch these things move. They're zipping around Jupiter so fast. Another thing, over to the left of the two bright stars in the constellation Gemini, the twins, is the upside-down Y constellation Cancer, the crab. And right in the center of that is a little fuzzy thing. And when you point binoculars at it, it explodes into a couple dozen stars. So that's called the Praesepe, or so-called the Beehive Cluster. And that is really a magnificent thing to see in binoculars. The answer to your question is there's a lot of stuff you can see in binoculars or a small telescope. And it really does help to have a set of star maps like the ones that we're giving away, but to be able to find those things. Tough to describe where things are on the radio.
So it's an astronomy fest for kids. Can anybody go?
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, yes. Everybody in Columbus is invited at Westerville South, like I said, from 2 to 8 this Sunday, the 28th, and it's free.
Yes, all I'm right. going to be showing up during the day, so instead of pointing a telescope, I'll be launching some rockets.
All right. Well, I'll try to post something on Facebook about that, Jennifer. Thanks so much for joining us. Tom, you're always good with kids. Something about kids. Kids
love
in the stars.
We
love
have to
the
catch
kids.
Them before they get addicted to Xbox and Nintendo, you know. Show them that the natural world is far more entertaining than watching people smash each other.
My associate, you know, one of my first games I ever played was Asteroids. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, I got to love Asteroids.
Amy Jurovich, our associate producer, says parents can take their children to Perkins Observatory with the family four-pack. With a membership to 89.7 NPR News, you will be supporting public radio and supporting all sides. And this hour only, we have two great thank you gift options. Get your own copy of the Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets and four tickets, that family four-pack, to see the stars with Tom Burns at the Perkins Observatory for a pledge of $150. Or if the $85 fits into your budget, get four passes to the observatory as a thank you for supporting all sides during our spring membership drive. Just call 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Tom Burns is a great friend of 89.7 NPR News. He's the director of the Perkins Observatory in Delaware, and he's here today, as he is for all of our fun drives, to talk about exploring the night sky. This is your chance to support public radio right now while time is on the air. And remember, every gift of $85 or more gets you the WOSU member card for good for discounts at more than 200 area restaurants and attractions on your way up to Perkins Observatory to enjoy the sights there with Tom. 1-866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. That's where you go. Thanks to Susan Logan in Delaware for your support. Thank you so much, Susan, for showing your support for 89.7 for All Sides with Dan Fisher and all the programming that you enjoy on 89.7 NPR News.
And if I could put in a plug for the Perkins tickets here.
Please do.
It is really a good question. How do you know where stuff is up there? And you can do that from a book, of course. But the best way is one-on-one talking with the kids and their parents, and that's what we do at Perkins. We're not going to just release you to the telescopes. We're going to spend some time at the beginning showing you what you're going to be seeing and where it is in the sky, and then how to find it yourself in a pair of binoculars. It's really important to us. We want everybody to know the sky as well as they know the streets of Columbus.
In fact, wouldn't it be more interesting if we did? Cuba in Columbus, you're on the air with Tom Burns. Welcome, Cuba.
Hi, Anne. Hi, Tom. Very, very nice to hear you. Well, I wanted to recount a slightly different story. I think astronomy is usually looking from inside out, looking into space. How about looking from space in? The story is from about 20 years ago. I was a teenager back then, and my dad got a scanner. And we had this large roof with a lot of metal on it that somehow made the antenna for the scanner perform semi-decently. And I was actually able, with some hardware and a PC, to receive images from satellites that orbit the Earth. And some of these things, you can only receive them for a couple minutes. But there are many satellites out there that beam weather or other imagery that's just freely available. And you could actually just listen in and use a computer program to receive these things. As a kid, it was to me absolutely amazing that you could just sit up there in that room, have the scanner attached to a card, to a computer, and actually see the Earth in real time as the satellite was passing above just for a couple minutes, and you would receive, you know, in that amount of time, you would maybe receive, you know, a half of a screen worth of an image, but it was, to me, it was absolutely mind-blowing.
What did you see? What sort of things did you see?
This was from an orbiting satellite, so I would actually see what was above my head. And back then I lived in Poland, so it was actually, you would see Europe, and you know, the Mediterranean in Europe, and it was absolutely amazing that you could just sit and receive these things from space in real time.
That's right, and you know, the amazing thing about that is you don't need to put an antenna on your roof these days. I mean, you can see the satellite weather images, for instance. You can see images of the sun that are almost in real time from telescopes that are out in space that are designed to look at the sun. It is just truly amazing what's on the internet these days, that you can do the same thing without having to go through all that trouble.
But 20 years ago, that was a pretty big deal.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kuba, thank you so much for sharing.
Sure. Thank you very much. Good luck, guys.
Thank you. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you'd like to join the conversation with Tom Burns, director of the Perkins Observatory. He's with us in the studio today to show his support for 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher. If you'd like to speak with Tom, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. There are no callers right now on the phones. If you think you have to wait, you don't. So just give us a call, 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Okay, Jupiter is, well, one question I had going back to the comet Ison coming up in November, why do they cause meteor showers? Because we mentioned that it will be associated with one, but how do they cause meteor showers?
Okay, so what you have is a hunk of ice and dirt mixed together, basically. As a matter of fact, the big question about objects like comets are whether they're dirty balls of ice or icy balls of dirt. In any case, as they get close to the sun, the energy from the sun causes that ice to go straight to a gas. That gives you this beautiful lit up gas tail. But in the meantime, the dust and dirt and rocks and all of that are embedded in that ice get released from the ice, leaving a trail of debris. Now, if that trail of debris happens to cross Earth's orbit, Earth is going to travel right into it, and it is the impact of Earth's atmosphere with those hunks of rock and dust and sand-sized objects that cause those meteors to burn up in the atmosphere. Okay. So literally, Earth is plowing into that long, stretched-out cloud, and that's what gives us a typical meteor shower might be caused as Earth passes through that dust and debris every year. So you have comets like Swift-Tuttle, et cetera, that leave those trails of debris. And thus, every year at about the same time, Earth passes through that cloud, that trail of dust.
I want to say thanks to Rebecca Larson in Russellvania. Thanks so much, Rebecca, for showing your support for 89.7 NPR News during our spring membership drive. With a membership to 89.7 NPR News, you will be supporting public radio and supporting All Sides. And this hour only, we have two great thank you gift options. Get your own copy of the Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets and 4 tickets to see the stars with Tom Burns at the Perkins Observatory for a pledge of $150. Or if $85 fits into your budget, get 4 passes to the observatory as a thank you for supporting All Sides during our spring membership drive. Just call 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Tom Burns is a great friend of 89.7 NPR News, and he's the director of the Perkins Observatory in Delaware, and he's here today to talk about exploring the night sky. This is your chance to support public radio right now while Tom is on the air. And remember, every gift of $85 or more gets you the WOSU member card, good for discounts at more than 200 area restaurants and attractions. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and make that pledge right now. 1-866-897-9678. 7-8. And if you have a call, question, or comment for Tom, 614-292-8513. Okay, so Jupiter setting.
Yes.
But not for good.
No.
This is an annual event.
Well, it is in the sense that about every year you're going to see Jupiter at some point or another for some period of time. So Jupiter's been up a while. It's been up for, if you didn't mind observing it in the morning, it's been up for 5 or 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But as Jupiter sets, glorious Saturn is rising in the east in the early evening. And believe me, that's worth a look if you happen to have a telescope or even a small one or a pair of big binoculars.
There's always something.
There's always something. That's right. The universe is vast and it has lots of good stuff in it. So as one thing is setting, another is rising. As the great nebula in Orion is setting, up rises all those wonderful galaxies in Virgo, etc. There's always something to see.
Now, spring is great because we can see into the inky depths of space.
Yes, very good.
Tell us what is out there in the spring sky.
Well, spring tends to emphasize the farther away objects like the galaxies. Also, and I think this is the most magnificent thing about spring, is that you tend to see on either side of the Milky Way galaxy. If you imagine the Milky Way galaxy as this kind of stretched out path across the sky of stars, unresolved, kind of that milky glow that you see. On either side of it and on the kind of on the outside of the main galaxy are glorious globular clusters. This is what I always look forward to in the spring. These balls of half a million or a million stars that are far away. I mean, they're tens of thousands of light years away. But in a telescope of any size, like the one we have at Perkins Observatory,
not to show off,
they look for all the world like a pile of diamond dust in the sky. So many stars, you can't count them. Imagine 100,000 stars in a single field of view, piled like diamond dust. That's the kind of thing you look forward to in the spring.
Kirk in Pataskala, you're on the air. Welcome, Kirk.
Yeah, hi, Ann. Hi, Tom. I just wanted to say that while I was out Sunday night waiting for the International Space Station to go by about 10:30, I happened to look straight up in the air, and it looked to me like an open cluster there. Would you know which one that was?
Where were you looking? What time were you looking again?
It was about 10:30 Sunday night, straight up, and it was a really nice cluster, but it looked like an open cluster rather than one of your globulars.
Right. Did it look like a fuzzy patch, or could you see individual stars in it?
It was individual. It was pretty well defined, and that was by eye.
Okay. 10:30. I'm not sure exactly what you were seeing, but what 10:30 straight overhead. Probably wasn't an open cluster. It was probably just a collection of stars that that if you could resolve it with the unaided eye, it wasn't an open cluster. It was just a collection of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. If you were looking down low, you would have been seeing the Pleiades or Seven Sisters,
mm-hmm.
kind of
mm-hmm.
in the shape of a Little Dipper, actually. Six stars called the Seven Sisters. But that would have been a little bit lower than you describe.
All righty. Well, I also wanted to say I do like to observe the planets, but sometimes those binaries, I can't remember which one it is, but there's one that's a real bright sky blue and one that's real gold, and they're together.
Oh, yes.
That's really magnificent to see.
That would be Albireo in the constellation Cygnus, and you're going to see that pretty well this time of year in the morning sky. Just look for the big cross in the sky, sometimes called the Northern Cross, Cygnus the Swan, and look for the star at the bottom of the cross. Point a small telescope at that, and yes, it is a magnificent maize,
spectacular
maize and blue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
You had to do it, didn't you?
People do call it the Michigan double star. It's true. I'm sorry.
Not me. I never said that.
I've been looking my whole life for a nice scarlet and gray pair, but I've never found one.
But the most magnificent thing I think I've seen is through a pair of 15 by 22 binoculars is the Andromeda Galaxy. I couldn't believe how big it was. It's huge.
That's right. If you live in dark skies, you can see it with the unaided eye in the constellation Andromeda. And in binoculars, it is just a fabulous streak of light. The light that you are looking at took 2.5 million years to get down to your eyeballs. It is the closest large galaxy to our own Milky Way.
Thank you, Kirk in Pataskala, for that call. Thanks to Barbara Darrow in New Albany, and also Stephen and Sally Heckman in Dublin. And thanks to John Bosworth in Columbus for your support of 89.7 NPR News. Perhaps you listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher all the time. If you do, then you know that we work hard to bring you a diverse range of topics, from news of the day to long-term trends. You're going to hear about it all on this show, and you are part of the conversation. Listeners around Columbus and around the state are invited to join the dialogue, to weigh in, and to tell their story. This is something that only happens on public radio. To support local programming that is truly local, call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. For a pledge of $150, you can get the passes to the observatory, spend an evening with Tom Burns gazing at the stars in Delaware, and the book, The Princeton Field Guide to Stars and Planets, the most complete guide to the stars, planets, galaxies, and the solar system. At the $150 level, go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678, and show your support right now. We have just a few more minutes left in this hour with Tom Burns.
If I can increase the plug for the book,
yes.
It has in it star maps by the great Will Tyrian, who is the greatest living mapper of the sky, and just really
what
magnificent.
What sets him apart from the rest of the riffraff?
Well, he's just really good
he's
at
good.
It, let's put it
okay.
that way. It's tough to design a star map because by its nature, the sky is curved, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to, it's just like making a map of the Earth. You have to make certain kinds of compromises about the way you lay things out.
Uh-huh.
And Tyrian is just really extraordinarily good at representing the sky the way it really looks on a flat surface.
Okay, so this is a great book, Stars and Planets, the most complete guide to the stars, planets, galaxies, and the solar system, personally vetted by Tom Burns, our guest right now. And at the $85 pledge level, it is our thank you gift to you. At the $150 pledge level, you get the book and four passes to the Perkins Observatory. So think about it. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Let's see. Ben in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Ben.
Hi. Great to have this talk. I wanted to say I had a really fantastic experience stargazing when I was living in the desert in Arizona at the last solar peak. And there was I was driving home at night from an event, and I saw a glow in the sky, and it looked red. And I was like, what's going on? Is there a fire? Because it's, you know, forest fire country. But when I looked it up, I realized it was hydrogen alpha emission red aurora borealis.
That is correct, yes. You were seeing the aurora in Arizona.
That's really amazing.
It was Sedona, so I think the latitude, I've forgotten, it's something like 37 or 38 degrees north, so pretty far south for the aurora. And I went and took pictures, and I took time exposures, and it was just like I had photographed a macro photograph of a persimmon. Beautiful red-orange glowing with little white filaments in the middle. It was amazing.
And by the way, we're in the midst of a fairly weak solar maximum right now. They happen every 11 years or so. So there is the chance on any given night that you're going to see an aurora. Stick your head out the window once in a while. You never know when they're going to happen.
I've only seen it once, but it was when I was up on Isle Royale in Lake Superior. So
Yeah. The farther north you get, the better chance you have, up to about the Arctic Circle. But I have to tell you, folks, if we're going to see an aurora from central Ohio, it's going to be over the next 6 months or a year. So.
Okay. Ben, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. We would love it if more listeners would give us a call and share their most amazing observation in the night sky. 614-292-8513. Share it with Tom Burns, who's in the studio with me today. You can also give us a call and show your support and show that this is the sort of programming that you appreciate and enjoy. If you listen all the time, you know that this is a classic example of the sort of show we'll have. We'll also talk about politics. We'll talk about culture. We'll talk about current events. You name it. We'll talk about it. Give us a call. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and show it. And please give what you can afford. Give what you can. We appreciate every dollar counts. And Tom has whipped out $6 here. He's got 31 cents somewhere else. And
35, yes.
35
in my
cents.
Pocket. I'm having a hard time getting it.
We're going to get it out
it
of him. Show your support. 1-866-897-9678. Thanks to Steve and Mary Weiler in Columbus. Appreciate your support so much. 1-866-897-9678. We have less than 15 minutes to go with Tom Burns. Let's let us know. Because you sort of vote with your pledges on what matters to you.
That's right. I'm pledging right now. As soon as this is over, like I said
it'll
before,
count toward
going,
the next hour.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I have to go. I'll be back in a minute.
Give us a call.
Make it count toward my hour. Someday they're going to realize that I'm not actually an astronomer, and they're going to get a real astronomer on, unless you pledge right now, folks.
Yep, and we really need it. That's what makes the world go around at WOSU is our listener support. 1-866-897-9678. You know, I
give
didn't
me
even
some
realize
money.
It,
come on,
I just
give
said,
me
that's
some
what
money.
Makes our world go round. I wasn't even I guess it's just the whole theme.
Well, you know,
of
you got to pay the electric bill. You have all this nice equipment here. Somebody has to pay for that.
It's not cheap.
And you know, I see a lot of people around making this all happen. And I have to say, when I needed to find out, given the events of last week, what was happening, I knew there was one place that I could go to hear the facts and not rumors and innuendo, and that was WOSU.
The great NPR news.
I tried listening to some of those other ones, and they're all going, and they're all saying things that weren't true. Simply, at least you can count on this, my friends. You can come to this radio station, and you're going to get something fair and balanced and unbiased and not based on rumor and innuendo. What would we do, listeners? And I'm one myself. What would we do without this radio station? Come on, dig deep. Give till it hurts, and then give some more.
By the way, you know, last Friday when everything was happening and WOSU devoted the entire day with NPR and its great great reporters and great coverage of the events, it was a normal fund drive day for us, but we were unable to air our programming, and we're sorry about that, but we were happy to be able to share the great reporting of NPR with you. So we're kind of a day behind. We really appreciate it if you show your support right now and get us caught up. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Oh, how easily I'm confused. We have an email from Chris, and I want to get to a call from Terry, but make sure you make those calls and show your support. It matters that you call while we're on the air so that people know what you care about. An email from Chris. The most memorable thing I have seen in the sky was the first time I saw the northern lights from my parents' farm in southern Minnesota. If I recall correctly, it was August, and watching the veils of colored light undulate over the horizon was amazing. Though not a one-time event, my buddy Orion, high in the sky, high in the winter sky, always brightens my heart. My dad was an Air Force navigator in the 50s and learned celestial navigation the old-fashioned way. He taught me the major constellations, and now that he's gone, this is a wonderful legacy. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a wonderful note. Thank you so much, Chris, for that.
Everybody who stargazes frequently has those kinds of associations. I mean, I think... when I look at Orion, I think of my father as well, and I think of the fact that I named my own son Orion for that reason. My father's name was Herb. Orion seemed like a better name.
Tom, guys, I got tears coming out. My father's name was Herb. Terry, you're on the air. Welcome, Terry.
Yes, thank you very much. Our family has visited Tom a couple times up at the observatory, and I'm in my 60s now, but when I was in my teens, I did two trips. One trip was to northern Minnesota with a bunch of kids doing a canoe trip, and we got out there one night on the lake, and the stars, it was just as clear as a bell, and there were so many stars, which I had never seen before. I grew up 30 miles north of New York City. It was like a religious experience.
And it is. And we get, in my opinion, much of our religious sense from looking at the sky. That's where the gods resided. And consider this. The way you saw the sky that night was the way that human beings saw the sky throughout all the history of humanity, except for the last 100 years. It's worth getting out there once in a while.
It's funny, you think of all the things we know about, and yet we don't know something as profound as that anymore on a daily basis, like humans did before 100 years ago.
And it made me understand the insignificance of the human race in the bigger picture. And the other quick story is that the year after that, my father had a colleague who had leased 100 square miles of Canadian Forest Preserve and built a camp. And we went up there and had canoed down the lake, did some fishing. It turned dark, and when we canoed back toward the camp, which was an hour canoe trip, there was the Aurora Borealis in its full glory, and this was in June.
Wow.
Terry, I remember that one. I think I saw that one, in fact. I would like to say one thing. Yes, that look at the real sky, the real universe, will make you feel insignificant except for this one thing, my friends. You are the one part of the universe we know of who is capable of having that experience.
Wow. Good point, huh, Terry? Terry, thanks a lot for that call. Thanks to Mary Carnate in Columbus, and thanks to Wendy Russell in Worthington, Dan and Elaine Schreibus in Dublin. Hope I didn't torture that name. Thank you so much for your support of 89.7 NPR News. You're the only people out there that are capable of doing what you just did.
That's right.
Giving to 89.7 NPR News. Only humans can do it. My dog would gladly support us. She knows that it pays
Your dog
for
doesn't
her dog
have
food.
A credit card. But you're way behind
yeah,
the
yeah,
time.
She's, she yeah. can't do much. You have to do it for you have to do it for everybody who can't. So pick up the phone right now and give us a call. We just have about 5 minutes left. 1-866 897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. That's 1-866 897-9678 and go online to WOSU.org. Remember, we have real live volunteers waiting to get your call right now. Remember, 89.7 NPR News is dedicated to bringing you in-depth local news. We have our award-winning news team, and we have this show, a two-hour local call-in talk show. This programming is only possible with listener support, with your support. You hear in-depth features on the issues that impact life in Central Ohio from our news department, and you hear conversations on the topics that matter to you when you listen to All Sides. We bring you interviews with newsmakers across the country and in your own backyard. Support the programming that keeps you connected. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and make that show of support right now. We really appreciate it.
And speaking of your dog, Ann, listen, folks, Poppy. It's not just the programming. It's not just the radio station. It's the dedicated people who work here. Somebody has to buy that dog food for Ann's dog. And beyond that, I mean, the hard work that goes into keeping a place like this, I know it well because I work for an org myself. And it's not just the radio station and the program you're supporting. It's the people, some of whom are working for free.
Well, we have an intern in here, a brand new intern in here, observing this show today. Norma in Hilliard, you're on the air. Welcome, Norma.
Hi. You've had people talking about really spectacular things,
yeah.
but I know a lot of people don't think little kids get a lot out of stargazing, but I was about maybe 4, 5, 6. My dad would take me out on the front porch, and he was a navigator in World War II for Army Air, and so he knew all the constellations, and he just talked to me, and it was way over my head. But to this day, I always know where the Belt of Orion is, and I know about the star Betelgeuse, and that's what got me over to Perkins Observatory several times with some classes when I took science students over there. And I've always enjoyed looking up, and I have a very special memory of that time with my father.
Very good. And that's what it's all about, folks. I always describe stargazing as a family activity. It's a way of passing from one generation to another this very profound and beautiful knowledge. And that's what people have been doing for 10,000 years. It's up to us to continue that legacy.
Norma, thank you so much for sharing that story. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you. Thank you.
Oops, sorry about that. 614, well, we are running out of time for calls, but we still have time to take your pledge of support. 1-866-897-9678. We have just 3 minutes left in the hour. Please make that call right now. 1-866-897-9678. All Sides works hard every day to bring you interesting content. Every Tuesday, you hear Tech Tuesday, an hour discussion about the latest technology news and the newest gadgets. And Wednesday each week, you hear Wellness Wednesday, an hour of programming dedicated to the latest in medical news and tips on diet and exercise. We bring you programs to help you with your finances, to tell you about a new play in Columbus, to introduce you to an interesting author. If these types of discussions are important to you, then now is the time to make a pledge of support. Your call right now will help pay for All Sides in the months to come. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Thanks to Marla and Stephen in Westerville. Thank you so much for your support. We appreciate it. We appreciate every little call. We appreciate whatever you can support. $1 a week, $5 a week, $100, $50, maybe more. The pledges have spanned the horizon. That doesn't make any sense. That's not a good metaphor. But thanks to Eugene
support
in Jackson
Ann's dog.
Thanks to Eugene in Jacksontown, Ohio. 1-866-897-9678. If you want to make that call, whether Eugene called that number or whether he went online at WOSU.org, we thank you for your support. 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Once again, the four-pack, family four-pack of passes to the Perkins Observatory at the $85 pledge level is our thank you gift to you. The four passes and the book Stars and Planets at the $150 level, that's our gift to you for your support. But whatever you can do, we want to tell you right now how much we appreciate your support. 1-866-897-9678. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus. Thanks so much for listening today. Thank you, Tom Burns, for joining us once again. We appreciate it.
Love that theme music.
Love that groovy theme music. Thanks for listening. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call to make that pledge right now. You can also go online to WOSU.org. We also stream on the web at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media. And thank you so much.